Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you serious?
So this is How to Kill an Hour. I'm Marcus Bronzy. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Today I'm joined by my co-host
Funk Butcher
and also
Matt Richardson.
Thank you very much for coming down on the show today, mate. Extremely funny guy.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, you know, when I have to be.
I think in our short time together, I've found you very funny in person, because I didn't realise that some comedians are really funny on stage and not interested in being funny.
Oh, they're awful.
Off stage.
Oh my God. You know what? There's some comics. There's this weird brand of this weird thing in comedy, I suppose, where there's comics you go, I can't wait to watch them on stage if you're doing a gig with them.
Yeah.
And there's other comics where you go, I can't wait to be in a dressing room with them. And there are some comics. Do you know what I mean? And there's some comics where you go, oh, I can't wait to watch them, but it's going to be a horrible hour before the show sat with them in a dressing room.
Because
either they're not funny or, you know, they're an asshole or whatever.
Yeah,
but it is strange. You think, because people meet you and you go, I'm a comic, and they go, oh, brilliant.
Do it. Do one. Yeah. Do some.
Or they go, oh, hanging out with comedians must be brilliant. You're like, no, it's awful. They're terrible people. They're miserable. All they want to do is moan about gigs or moan about comedy. They just want to moan about everything.
Yeah. Are you promising then that we're going to have a good old moan about your gigs in today's show?
I love a moan. Like,
oh, wicked.
Professional moan. No.
I'm so negative. Yeah, we'll talk about everything terrible about comedy. Like, there's loads of good stuff. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love my job.
Yeah.
But, oh, I could sit and say it was awful for days on end.
Well, we can either do that or we can actually have a positive review of how we've been killing some time recently.
Oh, yeah, that was
show.
Good. That
we
was
can
fun.
Do that. Nice little seg there. Actually, before I do that, Funk, we need to remind people what they need to do on the Apple Podcast app before we continue with today's show.
Subscribe.
There we go. Thank you very much. Give us 5 stars as well. Tell us you like us. Even if you don't, it helps us get to more ears.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much. At the start of every show, we talk about how we've been killing some time.
Yeah.
Usually Funk and I discuss something that we've been playing or doing or eating or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Now, we've had the chance today, like we've been doing with a few guests recently, to kill some time before the show. And we played Super Mario Smash Brothers Ultimate.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So many innuendos from this game, bruv.
Yeah.
First things first, did anyone from Nintendo know that the word smash means fornication, bruv?
Possibly.
No, I think they didn't because it's a Japanese company, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Japanese are incredibly polite and incredibly conservative.
Okay, right.
So I think they're going into it truly innocent.
Okay, so whenever we say the word smash, Nintendo, we are solely talking about the computer game, all right? So we're not being rude at all. Actually, in Mario Kart, the Mario Kart that dropped on the Switch Deluxe, they actually had to do a little patch because one of the characters, when they went past, when you go past characters, they do little, and you get past one, you do a little like celebration. One of them turn around, the splatting one, and you go like that.
Yeah, give you the up yours.
They
like,
didn't know.
Fine, yeah.
They didn't know. Nintendo didn't know that the
Whereas
up yours.
They're all sat in Japan going, well, that's just a gesture with your arm. That's fine.
Whenever,
we'll have that.
Whenever we drive over here, everyone does it to us. So it must be nice, right?
It's quite a common hand signal for road users in London.
When I was a tourist in London taking photos in places where I shouldn't be stopping when people are walking. Walking behind me, people kept doing that to me. So it must be something like European. You know, it's not rude at all.
You thought they were complimenting your biceps.
Yeah.
Hey,
take more photos, please, tourists.
So, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is. There's been a lot of hype around the game, hasn't there, Funk? Really, about it kind of just having every single character from the Nintendo universe.
Yeah, there's been a lot of passion from your end about a certain character we won't go into that you're still campaigning to get, and you have threatened to streak and do all sorts of madness to get this character input into the game.
Now, I'm a little bit frustrated, but I'm sorry, we're totally digressing.
No,
we'll get back to you.
I really like that this has bothered you so much. I think it's really, like, genuinely quite sweet.
So, they claim to have every single character, and I've wrongly said that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've lied to you. Sorry, listener.
This is the kind of conversation you used to have when you were 13 about a game, isn't it? Yeah. Well, they claim to have all the characters, but actually...
There's one character that I was really excited about, and that's Waluigi. Yeah.
Yeah.
One, because I love the way that they just made his ridiculous name, because there's Mario and Wario, and Wario's evil Mario.
Yeah.
And they said, right, what will we call evil Luigi? Waluigi, right?
Because you can't have Luigi.
Waluigi? I don't know. But I just love the fact he goes, ha ha, I'm Waluigi. I'm like, he's the best. So I was really excited. And we're talking to two presenters of a show called Games, Gadgets and Rhymes, and Midas let me know that there is no Waluigi in this, and I was really upset, and I thought I was the only one that was really upset, and he flippantly said, yeah, there's petitions online and everything. No, there's actually petitions online saying bring back Waluigi, put him into the game. But I reckon downloadable content is a thing in 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
It could be available.
I mean, this is wild at the gaming community quite a bit, but Bruv. Nobody actually knows if Nintendo made any suggestions that character would be in there. I think you and your mates out there, whoever they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
All of them.
You and your friends.
Hundreds of thousands of them. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen the paperwork.
Well, I think, you know,
it's going to Parliament.
All two, isn't all two of you. About that, though, that like loads of people have gone, we love this character. We want it as a part of it. It's really nice. It's nice side of gaming, I think, that everyone's come together to go, let's get something that we want in a game, even though it doesn't really matter. Like, it's not like, you know, there's no flaw in the gameplay.
What? What do you mean it doesn't matter?
It matters, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a flaw in the gameplay or anything. It's just like, we really want this bit and we're going to all get together to do it.
And it could happen. Sort of thing.
I think that's great.
So yeah, the game. How was it for you? This was your first time. We just threw it at you. Was the first time on a Switch controller?
It was my first time on a Switch, yeah.
Okay,
and
how
I
was
really
that?
Liked it, although it's very small when you split it up to play two-player, took a little bit of getting used to, but actually by the end it was totally fine. You didn't notice.
All right.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. There was loads of characters that I've not thought about for about 15 years. Like, I don't think I've said the name Zelda out loud since I was a 13-year-old boy.
Not like the way you said it. Zelda.
I had some confusing times to that game. So yeah, it was quite nice. I love the nostalgia of it. I think it's a really smart idea to put all their characters in together.
Yeah, almost all of the characters. I'll get over it. So yeah, we split the Switch control pad into two parts as well. I mean, I'd say, like, controller-wise, I'd recommend, if you want to get that full Smash experience.
Pause.
If you want to get the full Smash experience, if you try and get two control pads for what do you reckon, Funk?
Yeah.
What do you reckon if you had that a bigger setup, right? Because control pads are cool when you break them up for less complex games, but I think when you're trying to pull off sick moves.
Yeah.
You didn't need to use pull off there. That's your own fault. That isn't Nintendo's fault.
Pull off Smash. 7 minutes into the show. It's going to be a good one. So gameplay wise, that was cool. And
because you said when you use the separate controllers, it actually limits the amount of moves you can do.
I feel like there's probably like a shift button somewhere on a control pad where you can unlock other controls.
Okay.
Right? But we didn't really take time. We just broke the Nintendo Switch down and just played it. Still had a bit of fun though. Like versus modes, cool. Against your mates, and then we also found a tag team mode, team smash. Also found
this is a
bunch of teenagers.
You know what? I wasn't hoping to come onto this podcast and end my career by, you know, saying something really inappropriate.
Oh man. So that was it. In terms of gameplay though, like tag team smash, how was that for you, Funk?
I think I was more interested in finding my own personal character, my favourites in this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of that, there is a lot going on. I can see a lot of people having some sort of epileptic attack from watching everything happening on the screen. It's a very bright and visual game.
It is a feast for the eyes.
Yeah. 8-bit next to HD. A Pokemon.
4K.
Yeah, next
explosion.
To... Yeah. It's a very busy screen. But I kind of like it because I think in the chaos sometimes, you can kind of... When a few of us are playing, you can kind of have a run off and like mess around on a level, pick up a power-up, whether it's a Pokeball or a hammer or a ray gun. I think that's
a Smash element because I can't really see any element of real skill happening in this game because there's so much going on. How can you really say you meant to transport to that side of the screen and kung fu kick Jigglypuff
who's got a sword for some reason
and a ray gun?
This is sick.
But it's a good game with people, like, you know, when if there's a load of you around because it's chaos. If there's like you got a load of mates, it'd be really good for that,
just definitely
to, chuck it around because it's not like you're keeping score, really. Yeah, yeah. And I've won that one. You play the next couple.
Yep.
Let's all have a few drinks and just play a bit of Switch.
Definitely.
100%. I'm across that. Yeah, so that's going to get a thumbs up from me, man. Like, you know, I don't want to break down the game into like out of 5 stars and stuff, but I think it's a thumbs up. It's definitely a game that I'll have around over the Christmas period. You know, like a few drinks before you go out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whack it on. And especially if you've got a mate that's got another Switch as well, that's 4 people that can play as well.
That would be too much going on, I think.
Bruh, the screen would be insane. Insane. But yeah, so there you go. Also, you can check out a video of us playing that. We'll put a link to it in the show description as well. And we're also on the YouTube as well. So How to Kill an Arrow is what you want to search for. But you've just bought your first console, though, haven't you?
Yeah, so I've had consoles in the house because we've got a younger brother who's really into games.
Okay.
But this week I've got a PS4 for the first time.
So talk me through how this happened then.
My girlfriend bought the PS4 because they've re-released Spyro.
Keeper.
And that's so I came home one day and there's this PS4. I was like, why have we got a PS4? And she went, I bought it, and Spyro. But it's quite nice because Spyro is actually really good, this new Spyro. We've had loads of like hours in the evening just sat playing it while having a gin and tonic. Brilliant. I've got, all my friends are really into games. So it just means that I've gone, right, there's been games out for years. What do I get? And they've gone, here are the games you got. So, you know, I bought Fallout 4, which I've started playing, which I really like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I like games like that. I know a lot of people, you know, find them a bit boring when there's loads of story elements and things like that. But I love a game where you sit for 10 minutes and watch a video in between every bit because I get scared playing games as well. So I need, when you get to the end, you're like, oh, thank God, it's 10 minutes of a film now. So I can just chill out for a second. Like, I like those bits more. I'm just going, oh, what happens next? You know, very exciting. So yeah, I love it. It's really good. I don't know why I haven't got one earlier.
And do you think that it's just going to be Spyro and done, or do you think you're going to be, because there's a lot of big games out this year. So
Crash Bandicoot's coming out, which she's already excited about. Like, yeah. I mean, I go out with a 12-year-old, apparently, which is, you know, the first I found out about it. I'm as shocked as Kevin Spacey. And but yeah, so like she wants all these like kind of retro games, but I'm quite into like finding out, like I want Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption is something that everyone's been talking about, and I'm now going to get.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Red Dead Redemption. I can't say it.
Red Dead Redemption
2.
Yeah. The problem is, there's so many games. If I go, I'll have Red Dead Redemption, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that is actually a spin off of it. You know?
Oh, you want the download? Oh, well, okay. Cool. Yeah.
I saw Fallout 76, and I was like, how have they got so many? Because I'm such an amateur with it.
They took that off Apple, didn't they? Apple were like, iPhone 10. iPhone 10. Yeah. So like, Fallout went.
What horrible things happened in the lab with the 9? Jeez. I'm really excited. I'm coming at it from a totally sort of unbiased point of view because I've never had a PlayStation before. So
cool.
I'm quite excited. You know,
welcome to
the
community.
To not do any work.
Yeah.
Welcome to the gang. I'd just like to let you know that you're in a room where there's 4 of us. Producer Billy is in here.
Yep.
3 of us own a PS4. Billy, unfortunately, own. What was it you own again, Billy?
Xbox One.
Don't say it so loud.
So he says it with his chest.
So like, this is a world that I'm excited to get into, like this tribalism in gaming. Like, so why don't you like an Xbox One?
I just like the releases that PS4 have given us at the moment.
Okay,
so basically things like the Uncharted series, like Funk Lights, and you'd love these because they're cutscene heavy. Spider-Man was an amazing game.
I've heard
game.
People going on about that.
PS4 only.
Okay.
So, yeah, so.
So it's more about the releases than it is about the console then?
Yeah, for me, I think at this stage in time, all the consoles pack the same amount of power, right? But it's what can I play? Do you know what I mean? Like, what do I want to play? So if I was, a lot of people say that if you're more heavily into online, then Xbox is where it's at.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I like story and I like things that have, like I like you, I like cutscenes. So if you like those, by the way, to go back to what you said, Red Dead Redemption is very cutscene heavy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a real slow pace. You'll love it. You'll feel like an actual cowboy.
I love a game that takes forever, basically. And you're in the story. That's all what I'm all about. And I don't like online either because I don't like an 8-year-old from America calling me a bellend. Which is all that is online, isn't it? Like, if you're playing, I've played Call of Duty online before and I've just had to take the headphones off because I want to cry.
You hear some wickedness on that. I think is that one of the cruelest parts of the internet, do you reckon?
Well, the gamers.
The online gamers,
yeah. The online abuse.
Yeah.
You have not seen what they say about me on the Big Brother forums from when I worked on that show. When I did Big Brother's Bit on the Side for a couple of years, they were not a fan of me.
What did you get? What's some of the worst stuff that you got? Go on.
So I used to do stand-up on it like a few times a week, you know, like they used to do on like, I'm a Celebrity spin-off show and all that. And oh my, they used to call me, I don't know how much, can I swear on your podcast?
Yeah, go for it, man.
They used to call me the Oxbridge cunt. And I... I don't have a degree. I didn't go to university. But they're all just like, well, you know, because, you know, like these people going, oh, that Oxbridge cunt who thinks he, I can't believe he said that about Sherry Hewson, who's in Celebrity Big Brother. Oh, they were so nasty to me. But you know what? It's my own fault for being so self-involved that I found it online.
Don't you find out?
Yeah. I Googled myself that much that I was on the bigbrother.forum.com.
And don't you find that a bit of a compliment, though, that people are assuming that you've actually been to university?
Yeah, I was like, people going, well, he's clever enough to be at Oxbridge. Yeah. Thank you very much.
As long as they're not saying you've got a degree in being a cunt. That's not cool.
No, it isn't cool.
And I never said that online.
No. So, yeah, I mean, you know, but gamers are brutal, aren't they, I think?
Insane.
If you're not very good at the game as well, and you've got to start somewhere, I suppose. So I've played Call of Duty online with friends and, you know, I don't know how to play it very well, so I'm just starting out. And people don't give you the space to learn.
No.
There's no room for error.
No.
Like, if you fuck up in a squad, you're going to get the maximum amount of heat possible. Like, nobody cares.
That's probably why they invite you around, though, to be their whipping boy.
Well, go, guys, I don't know what language this is, but it doesn't sound like they're being nice about me.
Oh, man. Okay, cool. Well, I look forward to hearing what you want to get. And if you ever want to reach out to us online and ask us what's good gaming-wise, we'll hit you up with some.
Well, it's nice to
games.
Know people who are at the forefront of it and, you know what they're talking about.
We're just at the forefront of casual gaming.
Yeah,
we can walk into a room and not know what we're talking about and enjoy ourselves just as well as people that do, mate.
They call us blaggers.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the best person to be.
4 years in, going strong still. So yeah, man, what do you want to talk about now? Just let's talk about what you're doing right now at this time, because you've got a very diverse diary. A calendar has got you moving around, but you've got a bit of breathing space.
Yeah,
at the moment,
you know what? I'm like, I'm pretty much done for the year now. So okay, I do a radio show Monday to Friday. I do Drive Time on Virgin Radio. So I've got that in the week. So I've got, you know, a week and a half of that left. And then I've got like a couple of little comedy club gigs, like nothing major. But this time of year, comedy clubs are horrific. Because it's full of Christmas parties. So this is, for us in December, if you're in the clubs, like, it's the most lucrative time because there's loads of gigs, but it's all Christmas parties who hate you and are so battered that they can't even talk but keep yelling stuff out. So it's not a fun time of year if you're just doing comedy, but I don't do that many, so it's kind of fine. And it's kind of fun because you go in going, I'm getting paid, no matter how badly this goes. So if they yell out, you just sort of have a bit of a fight with an audience.
I mean, personally, what is your coping mechanism for hecklers?
My coping mechanism, you know what? 9 times out of 10, it's fine because they're battered and you've got a microphone, so you can deal with it. You know, my problem is not heckling, it's people talking, sort of talking as a group and distracting you, because that's quite, when you're trying to sort of hit, you know, a rhythm of what you're talking about, and there's just a group of people chatting, that's way more annoying than one person going, you're a wanker, because you can deal with that. And if the whole room hears it, you can deal with it. Whereas if the worst thing I ever had is one guy in the front row, under his breath, was just calling me a dick, like, and calling me all these names.
Dick.
Yeah, he's going, you think that's good, do you? Like, stuff like that. But he was doing it quiet enough that only I could hear him.
So
I couldn't do anything about it, because if I laid into him, the whole audience would be like, why has he just gone for this guy for no reason? Yeah. So that's quite annoying. But yeah, I mean, you get all sorts. Like, I quite like a heckler, because if it's at a gig that you're doing quite well at, most of the time they just want to join in, which is quite nice, you know, and they want to chip in with their story. So like, I did one last year. I was doing a gig in Covent Garden and I was on stage, it was going really well, and a bloke threw his prosthetic arm at me. A one-armed guy. This is, and I couldn't believe it, right? Because I was on stage and this thing hits the back wall of the gig, and I was like, what the fuck was that? And like, because it was going well, I picked it up and it was this big, it wasn't a very good prosthetic, I'd say. Like, it was quite rubbery. So it looked like, do you know when you go into Soho and you see those things that are for fisting? You know, those fisting dildos, right? So it was like that. It was like a rubber arm with like a fist
the
on
Italian
the end.
Italian fisting
like
dildo.
Yes. So I picked it up and I was like, who's just thrown an arm dildo at me? And this guy put his stump in the air and went, me, mate. And I was like, okay, well, this is brilliant. And I just went to him, I was like, why did you throw that at me? And he went, I think you're shit. And I was like, you've missed your opportunity to say it looked like I needed a hand. So that ended up actually, and then he tried to get on stage to get his arm back and I wouldn't give him his arm back, and every time I sort of said something about him that slammed him, I high-fived his own hand, like, which was really funny because he was engaged, and actually he threw it because, and I asked him afterwards, I went, why did you throw it? And he went, well, I threw it because I do it at gigs when I'm enjoying myself, I think it's like a fun thing to do to, like, you know, make a bit unique. And actually, that leaving that gig, that's all anyone would have remembered about my set, is that. And it was a really fun, interesting, unique moment that will never happen again. So I actually quite like that. You know, that didn't annoy me. I thought that guy was brilliant.
It's like a 4D applause, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my god. And I was, you know what, because he was so involved in it, it meant that you could say some quite, like, you could be quite nasty to him because it was all a laugh and he was engaged, like, because he was going, I think you're shit at comedy. I was like, I can do up my own buttons and, you know, stuff like that. And it just meant, like, because everyone was on board, it made this really great moment. And I think, so I love it when people get involved. Like, you know, I don't, if they're being annoying or drunk, you, there's ways to deal with them, but it's mostly just getting security to kick them out, really.
Brilliant.
And it, but it doesn't happen too much as well, because everyone assumes that comics get heckled all the time, but it's a rare occurrence, I'd say.
Do you think your time on the floor or on the stage, like, because you were talking to us about having a year we did, was it like 300 gigs in a year?
Yeah. So, like, I used to, sort of, for the first 4 or 5 years when I was on the circuit, I did 300 gigs a year.
That's insane.
And did that kind of give you everything you needed to deal with every situation? Because that's a heck of a lot of shows.
Yeah,
bro.
You know, so probably, like, you know, I've done thousands of gigs now, but the thing that teaches you is I failed at every gig now. Like, I've died on my ass at every type of gig, in a village hall, in an art centre, in a theatre. Like, I've bombed. And that's when you learn how to be good, is when you learn how to be bad.
What do you define as bombing, though? I mean, clearly, because if you're...
It's a silence.
Really?
20 minutes. I mean, I did my own tour date once. On my first tour, I did an hour and a half in two sections to nothing.
Oh!
But once you've done it, you come out of it and you go, oh, no one died. Mm, like, no one's hurt. Yeah. Like, that's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, a load of people went, oh, that wasn't worth 12 quid. But you know what? Like, no refunds. Who cares? Like, cheers for your money.
Yeah.
I remember once doing a gig, and I used to get booked for this gig. It was in Oxfordshire. So near, I grew up around there, and I lived around there for ages when I started. And it was quite hard. It was hard. Like, for whatever reason, like, I don't know why it was hard, but it was hard to do this gig. And I did it a few times, and I always really struggled to do okay. Mm-hmm. And then I remember seeing Sarah Millican at it. And I was like, yo, you're amazing. Like, how could you do this gig when I can never do this gig so well? And it was just before she became massive. And she went, oh, I've died here about 8 times. And you're like, oh, there we go. Like, that's okay, the only way you get good is by being crap and then, you know, learning. It's just the problem with being crap in any other thing is you can be crap privately. Like, if you're a magician, you're crap in your bedroom and you get good in your bedroom. Like, Dynamo was terrible when he started, but got good and then got on telly and got famous. In comedy, you have to be crap in front of a room full of strangers.
Yeah.
So it's just embarrassing.
Do you find it happens a lot in your career that people try to sanitize their careers and remove all the little bad parts out of it to portray this image that they're hilarious everywhere?
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, so, like, anyone on the internet, like, comics are the worst on Facebook. Like, when they're going, oh, so tonight, right, I was in Brighton tonight and, you know, there were a real bunch of assholes and, you know, thankfully I had it, and they'll just humble brag about how they smashed the gig.
Yeah,
it's nobody cares, mate, because I saw you 3 weeks ago die on your ass in front of the nicest audience. And it's a careerist thing, because on Facebook you're friends with promoters and comics, like, they're just saying they smash gigs to try and get other gigs.
Yeah, that kind of happens in the music world, where I'm a DJ and what they do is, from a DJ's perspective, if you smash the crowd, the picture will be from behind the DJ's head, so you can see the sea of people.
Yeah.
When there's no one there, it's the camera's facing them.
You're terrible. Why have you got to do that to them?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Just all right, the secret out
little
there.
Peek behind the curtain there.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But it's true. And everyone does that, don't they? Like, it's, you know, that's the problem with online, like social media and things. But you learn to read between the lines like that.
Yeah.
You know the picture. You know when someone's posted going, well, you were shit. Like, but you want to talk about it and talk about what was good about it. It's like this guy who I won't name him because it's not fair, but he's always like, tonight was a real learning curve. And I'm like, yeah, you were terrible. That's what that means.
That's coded language.
That's very much so.
You know, I'm really grateful for gigs like this evening because it makes me grow. And I'm like, yeah, because you started terrible, so you can grow. But you just learn to read. And it's quite funny because you just sit scrolling through it. Say if you've had a terrible one or a bad one, you're like, he had a bad one, he had a good one, he had a bad one. So it's quite good fun.
Fair enough. So name of the tour right now is Slash, right?
Yeah, Slash.
Why is it called Slash?
It's called Slash because people think it's because of, like, Ween.
So
I kind of slightly regret calling it Slash, but I thought it was quite like a bold word.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's called Slash because, I mean, it's basically mostly just normal stand-up, apart from a few times during the show, I talk about all the gay erotic fiction that's been written about me online. Which is called Slash Fiction. That's the name of like this gay erotica. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's like a teenage girl fan fiction thing. And I got caught up in it, I suppose. Like, there's not tons about me online, but there is a bit. And it's all about me, Harry Styles, and Nick Grimshaw.
Because Googling now as we speak.
Yeah, yeah. The website's called Archive of Our Own. And it's weird because it's all... Because I know Nick Grimshaw and like I used to hang out with him a bit when I first got into telly.
Yeah.
And it was just after he'd hung out with Harry Styles and everyone thought him and Harry Styles were having it off.
Yeah.
So when I started hanging out with him, they're like, that's the new Harry, they're together. So all these teenage girls who are mad Harry Styles fans started writing about me and Nick Grimshaw and Harry Styles having mad threesomes.
So they've created this fake narrative amongst the three of you, but
yeah.
But did you know about this scene, as it were, prior to that?
Not really, until I found it once again because I'm self-obsessed and was Googling myself loads.
Yeah.
But but I read it all, and loads of it is really funny and like really weird. And also in all of it, like they treat Harry and Nick like they're these sex gods, and then it's like me, like it's, and then I'm like,
where do you fit into that?
And I'm the loser. So there's a story where like we all have this threesome, and afterwards it's like Matt couldn't help himself but clean up straight away. why make me that guy? So,
they've not even written you in, is it? Matt's pulsing.
Yes, Matt's like Matt's pulsating. There's one, and there's some of them have been deleted since I've started talking about it a lot. But there's one that I read, and they were like, I get naked in front of Harry Styles, and it goes, and then like, so I pull my trousers down, and you know, I'm stood there, and it goes, and the next line is, Harry had to stifle a laugh, and I'm like, what?
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah, and it's like, and it goes, and then Harry says, and then it goes, what's the line? It goes, Harry knew it would be small, but even this was a surprise. And I'm like, I'm in the porn. Why am I a loser? I'm in it, and I'm a loser still. So I sort of read it out because it's that kind of like, you know, look at, well, my show's a bit about like, because I'm sort of, you know, on a bit of telly and things,
but
I'm not famous. So it's like, I'm in this sort of world a bit, but it's still all slightly shit for me. So I kind of, it's the kind of perfect thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm in show business, but not at the glamorous end of it. So like, it was, for example, I talk about on stage about, I was once an answer to a question on Pointless, right? So I'm famous enough that my name could be an answer to a question on Pointless.
That's pretty famous.
But I was the pointless answer because no one knew who I was. So it's like the whole show is basically this going, how cool is this? Oh, no, it's shit. Like, you know, I'm still a bellend. So like, even though I live like a coolish life, it's still a bit of shit. So that's what the show is about, really. So I use the Slash Fiction to talk about that.
Okay, I was not aware of Slash. I feel like there's... There's a whole lot going. I've just seen. This is 3,000 words of.
Like they don't piss about. Like they're long stories. The weirdest ones are. There's not even sex in some of them. It's like just like you, me, and Harry, and it's like a brushed knee and a stolen glance. They're the creepiest ones.
Wow, you sound like a bit of a predator in this one, by the way.
Oh, do I? Go on.
Oh my God, Nick says, putting his face in his palms. Matt slides a drink in front of him and says, "Here, darling. Have another."
Get in.
Oh, that's the smoothest line I've ever heard.
Oh my gosh. Oh wait, Harry can't stand the way Matt says darling. Matt slides his hand under the table and rests it on Nick's thigh, smirking when Nick's eyes widen in surprise. You predator. Bruv, you are moving him up there, bruv.
What's a pervert?
So Matt's been written in as this disruptive energy between Harry and...
So he's like, just this troublemaker.
Like these teenage girls that are One Direction fans do not have a warm place in their hearts for me.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I talk about it on stage. I sit on a stool and read it dramatically in a spotlight and all that. But it's mostly just me talking about penises and fannies. The store. Like I'm not like
kind
a
like
highbrow
theme of this show.
Yeah, I'm not a highbrow comic. You know, yeah. I really like rude jokes. Like, you know, I've got a 12-minute long routine about taking my girlfriend's tampon out for her because she was too drunk to do it herself. You know, like it's pretty base. I'd say like if you loved The Inbetweeners, I'm the comic for you.
Take that as a quote. That should be on a poster, isn't it? Yeah. If you love The Inbetweeners, this but is the
like
comic that, for
just
you.
Just a bit zero. Yeah. And like, there's loads of great comics these days who are doing like loads about Brexit and like political stuff.
Yeah.
And I just think like that's not, you know, I love watching it, but it's just not my thing. I just want to go on and go, this is a bit of a laugh. I'm going to talk about things that I find really funny. I'm going to try and like gross you out a bit. Let's see where it goes.
Fair enough. I mean, do you think that in this time where this is such a common conversation, you can't stick on the TV, open a paper, whatever, go on social media without hearing about this? You think there's a place, while respectfully understanding that this is happening, being aware of it, do you think it's really important for there to be a space in comedy where there's just fun for the sake of fun.
Totally. Like, and you know what? There's the beautiful thing about comedy is it's like music, and there's a spectrum that is infinite with each style that, you know, crosses over and does whatever. Like, you know, you can go to Japan and see a load of 12-year-old girls in a death metal band, and you know, and the same with comedy. Like, you can go and see someone who talks about Brexit and is brilliant, or you can go and see Eddie Izzard or someone who's just going to talk about badgers and jam and whatever, or someone who's just going to go, wait, let's talk about dicks. So yeah, I think it is. And you know what? Like, people just want a night. Like, things are crap at the moment, I think. Like, you know, and it's like games or even a podcast. Like, it's like, let's just think about something that isn't terrible for a bit.
Escapism.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think it
is important. And you know, you don't know what's going on in people's lives. So they've come out, they've come to see you on tour, they've got a babysitter, they've had a hard week at work.
Yeah.
I just want to go, I'm just going to make you, don't worry about it. I'm going to make you laugh as much as I can possibly make you laugh for the next hour.
That's very important.
And that's all I'm interested in. And my hats off to comics that want to make a statement and want to say something important. That is really vital, but it isn't me.
Fair enough. Well, you're on tour till May next year, right?
I'm on tour till May, yeah. It's really spread out. It's nice.
Well, does that mean you've got quite high energy levels as well? You don't feel like it's just rigmarole.
I'm doing like one a week or something like that. Nice. So it's really, it's sort of dossy in between like the radio and a few other bits and bobs.
Good stuff. I think your first date in 2019 is Maidstone, Kent.
Yeah.
19th of January.
Never been there before. Apparently it's a show.
It's close enough to London to have all of the worst bits of London. And close enough outside of London to have all the worst bits of the outside of London mixed up together. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Please come back on the show. We'll find out how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I'll call you that day.
That expression was like, you're not missing out much.
Well, I've had my Nintendo Switch nicked from the dressing room. So thanks, guys.
What's that, Bill?
That's my neck of the woods. So.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Billy. Oh.
Billy, what's it like?
Look at him.
It's so-so. There is other better areas, but it's so-so.
To be fair, my hometown was in the crap town's book, so like, okay. I've sympathised, Billy.
Yeah.
Really?
Apparently the streets are paved with Marmite.
Right, so the tour's called Slash. This leads us on to a question that I tried to remember to ask each and every one of our guests. Now, when people hear the word Slash, they think of piss, right? Now, I'm going to talk about the other thing that you do, which is go for a poo. So we've asked a question and we've uncovered two types of... Billy hates this. Human beings that exist. And you don't know the other exists until we have this discussion, right?
Okay.
When you go for a shit...
Yes.
When you're wiping your ass, do you stand up or stay seated when you wipe?
I absolutely stay seated. What? Who's... I mean, this is like opened my world up. Like... You were right. You're like, I was going, what's he going to say? I'm going to know what he's talking about, the other person. No, I sit down.
Bruv, there's a actual group of people. In fact, we've done it.
Is anyone in this room a stand?
I'm a sitter.
Are you a sitter?
What was that? I was a
you're a stand.
What do you mean
you're a
stand? You're
a stand. Yeah, I was a sitter.
You're a sitter.
Yeah. No. Funk flip-flops.
You know what?
Billy's getting upset.
Hang on. Funk, you got to stand with me, man.
Are you a stander?
Yeah, Funk stands as well. But every time he changes his mind.
Okay.
So we're like, we've had a 60%, it's gone 55, 60, but you're on the sitting side.
I'm a sitter.
How do you feel about there being standards out there?
I'm a looker as well, so yeah, I'll wipe and check.
You did it from the front.
Yeah, I wipe from the... Whoa. I put my hand between my legs. Why would you go back and lean? Like,
because I don't want to get any shit on my balls.
I'm not getting... I hold my balls up. Oh my God. Like, am I doing this wrong?
My mind's blown, bruv.
I mean,
we found subsections within this.
I didn't think on a Tuesday I would realize that my life was a lie.
So I lift up
my junk and then wipe from underneath and then check it to make sure all the poo's off the paper.
That's how you wipe babies, technically, isn't it?
I don't know what to say.
Am I doing it weird?
Is it? Do you think it's weird for me to go wipe from...
You know what? From the front is laziness because I don't want to lift up an arse cheek.
Wow.
Yeah,
this is the gift that doesn't stop giving, this conversation,
you know,
this question.
Matt's got a point, though, because one time I've tilted to the side and I've actually fallen off because...
Well, yeah, because you're stood up, mate. You're on one leg. Absolute balance. That's also what I was going, why do people wipe from the front? That's a really long reach back to your ass, obviously, because you wipe from the back.
It's just close on us.
That makes total sense to stand. Well, I mean, who knew that there were so many ways? Because it is one of those, it's so intimate that you don't know you're doing it wrong.
You just don't talk. You, Has anyone ever asked you that, how do you wipe your ass? No one's ever gone, hey, how you doing, mate? How do you wipe your ass?
Never.
It's just not in that normal line of conversation.
And you know what? It's kind of like a nice quirk, isn't it? Everyone's got their own little things.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a punchline. Stand-ups do sit down.
You know, that's going to be the new poster I'm going to have for my tour. Holding my balls in a piece, looking into the camera like, you know that look that every comedian does in their poster, going, what am I like? That kind of, look at me at odds with the world. That face, every comedian's got it. Like that kind of...
Or you could be looking at the
tissue. It's not really good for an audio, you know, that. Like that McIntyre kind of, he always does that, how do you wipe your ass? Are you wiping below? Are you going, do you stand up? I know people that stand up. Do you stand up when you wipe?
I would love to see the poster, you know, balls in one hand.
When you're standing and you wipe your bum, it's great, isn't it? You're wiping, your wife walks in and she's going, why are you stood up? And you're going, I don't know, why are you stood up? Like, it's, I mean, you know what? Thanks for the inspiration, guys. This is going to be my next tour.
I want to see the poster with balls in one hand and shitty tissue in the other.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Slash and then shit. They're going to look great on my agent's wall, those
yes.
posters.
S&S.
If I was ever a big enough comedian to make the wall. But,
not,
you know.
Not M&S, S&S.
S&S.
This isn't just any kind of shit.
Yeah, what a fascinating thing. Like, so, yeah. What are you, like, do you have any... I like to use a wet wipe if I can as well.
There's a lot of love for wet wipes out here. And there's also people that are just like, at what stage in our life did we say, right, you know, babies, they have wet wipes. So what stage are we like, right, you're old enough now and you've probably got a hairy ass now, just use tissue.
I'm actually banned from wet wipes though, because I've blocked the toilet a few times.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? And you know, I watched that thing about the Fatberg as well. So I use a wet wipe and then I'm having a guilty shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, what do we do then?
I'm like, this Victorian sewer system isn't designed to deal with these. But you're right, they do block, because even if they say flushable, they're not technically flushable.
No.
So I do like a wet wipe, but I just feel bad about using them. Because you're right, hair, like we shouldn't be using, like it makes more sense to use a wet wipe.
Yeah.
But so that's like a wet wipe is a guilty pleasure then.
Yeah. A wet wipe is like, if I'm like Christmas Day.
Yeah.
A wet wipe and a Lindt chocolate ball on the loo.
Don't get confused.
Pop the ball up your ass and eat the wet wipe.
Oh man. So I think that's given us a nice taste of the Slash Tour match. Can't wait for that, bruv.
That's the most one I've ever had on a podcast. Talking about shitting.
Hey, welcome to Articulate Now, bro. It's what
and
we do.
And sometimes I do spend an hour on the toilet as well, you know, like...
I do like to take my time when I'm having a shit. I stay on way longer than I need to. It's meditation.
It's quite bad for you. You might prolapse your anus if you do it, but you know what? It's worth the risk.
Well, even if I'm not pushing?
Yeah, because it's just your body's not designed to like have it all because you're everything pushing down on it naturally. You should shit quickly and then leave. You shouldn't like sit there for ages. It's not very good for your bum. But I like to have a really good clear out every kind of like 3 or 4 days where like it'll be like a mountain coming out the water. You know, like a little
what,
peak.
You break the water?
Yeah, I broke the water yesterday and I sent a picture of it to all my friends because I was just like, I'm living my best life, guys.
Good, Matt. How did they react to that?
With positive comments, mostly.
Good shit.
Yeah, people were like, yeah, brilliant. But we do have a group where that's what we do is we all send each other our shit.
Is it just for that, though?
Yeah, like, well, we do talk in it, but, like, it didn't start out as that, but it has become that. Because, you know, your friends that you grow up with, that you're a teenager with, and then as you go through life and you go through your 20s, you slowly do kind of, you know, you move away from each other, you don't have as much to say to each other. So we stay bonded by just showing each other dumps. It means we don't have to have that talk of going, so how's the... How's life then? How's the job? I don't know what half of them do for a living because I don't care.
But you do know how much fibre they've had in their diet.
Exactly. And is that not more intimate?
It's very important. You know if they're healthy.
I couldn't tell you the company they work for, but I could tell you when they've had sweet corn. Do you know what I mean? And I'll stay friends with them as long as it's never on a pizza because that's what serial killers do.
Oh, gosh.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, so we've done stand-up. Let's do some TV stuff. Celebrity Roast Battle. Let's talk, man.
How's that? Oh, it was brilliant. I loved it. It was great. Although they cut out a couple of the like harsher ones, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I had a really, like, because the problem is with that show is you go in and, like, I was up against my mate, Angela, who's a brilliant comedian from Maidstone, actually. And she and I sort of got together and we're like, right, let's write it. You can talk about this. This is off limits, which is fair enough, I think.
Yeah.
And we kept sending jokes into the producers and they're going, harsher, go harsher. We want you to go harsher than that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I can go harsher. And so we were going harsher and harsher and harsher. And in the end, I mean, I did a joke about, like, it's a really tasteless subject, but that's the point of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did a joke about, like, stillbirth, which is about as far as you could go. Because they just kept pushing, going, push.
Yeah.
And in the end, they went, oh, yeah, we need to cut that out. That was too harsh. I'm like, I only did it because you made it.
Yeah.
But it was really good fun. And, I mean, I lost, which, you know, is a shame. But, it was just really weird because it's not like doing stand-up. You're normally in control. You're never normally on stage with another person as well. So, and you're in a pit like when you film it. So with all the audience going up, so it feels like a battle. It's really strange.
Yeah,
but I liked it.
Do you think this is the last safe place comedians can really take the like just go raw as possible?
You know what I do, because you've got the license from the audience of Jimmy Carr at the beginning going, this is offensive and it's going to be offensive. Because you go to comedy clubs, unless someone's come to see your tour, if you're in a club now, you offend people much easier than you used to.
Okay.
And especially at universities, I find now.
Really?
Uni gigs are getting harder and harder. And I'm not an offensive, like, I'm a rude comedian, but I'm not an offensive comedian. Mm-hmm. I don't talk about anything taboo. I don't talk about anything controversial. I just talk about, like, shit, poo, and throwing up, and periods.
Yeah.
But people get really weird about it and really upset, where they never used to. So I think, yeah, a show like that is actually refreshing because you go, I can say whatever I like, actually, as long as it's not libelous. And like a lawyer says it's fine, then you can do it. It doesn't matter about how tasteless it is, which was really freeing because it's getting harder to do that now.
I think it's great. Like when I saw the ads for it, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna work. It fucking works.
It's so good.
It's insane.
I think it works the best as well. And there's been a few that aren't friends, but every comic that goes against each other, they're mates. So like Angela's my oldest friend in comedy, like in two ways. Like we've known each other for the longest and like she's way older than me, which is one of the things I said about her on Rosebud. It's just so easy to slip back into it. But we've known each other for nearly 10 years. So actually like it's fine if she says those things about me. Whereas if it was a comic I didn't know that well, it would have really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
So that's the magic of it, is it's two comics that you go, right, they're mates, they know each other really well, and they're just going to lay into each other like you do with your mates if you're being harsh, you know. And I think that's why people like it, is because everyone roasts their friends all the time.
It's like a live WhatsApp group, isn't it? That's what it is. You know, when it's your turn. Yeah. When it's your turn in the group, you have to take the heat.
And it's just that, like, you know, and I think the ones that don't work as well are that if people don't know each other, which has happened once or twice maybe on that show, but they really try and put you with a friend.
Mm.
So when they got in touch with me, they were like, who's your dream person to go against? And it was Angela, so it worked out great.
That's when he goes, 07957 has left the group.
Oh my God.
Add them in again.
Start a new group round them about something else and then we'll descend into this. Oh, I love a WhatsApp group. Oh, they're brilliant. Oh, they're feral.
Yeah, I think that is another area of social media where people think Twitter is where the harshest conversations are. I think the WhatsApp group, that is where it's at.
I've said things in WhatsApp that if I said them out loud, I would be fired from all my jobs. You know,
100%.
Because it's your friends. It's a license, isn't it? You can push it. And I think it's healthy to do that. And, you know, these days when people's old messages and things like that get, you know, like they ruin careers now, like if they get on telly and things. Like, I think don't be racist. Don't be homophobic. Mm-hmm. Be kind to people online. But if it's your friends, like, you've got a different context there that you can play with. 100%. Sometimes that's taken out of context, but, you know, half the time it's just a Big Brother person. You go, oh, no, you are a massive homophobe. Actually, you shouldn't be on telly.
Carrying on from TV, Netflix seems to be the future of where television is heading.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Netflix and where it shapes itself in terms of a comedian's career?
I love Netflix. It's brilliant. But the problem is, I feel like I'm the only comedian without a special. Because there's so many comedy specials on there. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because the problem with comedy at the moment is comedy's not trendy at the moment, I don't think, stand-up. It went through a huge boom about 15 years ago. And when I started, it was still in the peak of that boom.
Yep.
And then now, like, clubs are shutting down. Excuse me, sorry. Clubs are shutting down. There's less places to gig.
Yeah.
They're paying less money because there's less people coming out to see live comedy. Mm-hmm. But then I don't know if Netflix and places like that and Amazon, it's because they've got so many specials that why would you go to a comedy club when you can watch, you know, Ricky Gervais in your living room do a special and you can get every single special and you pay £4 a month or whatever it is for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's having a negative effect on live comedy. If you're one of the comics that has a special, it, you know, elevates your career and people go and see that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's good for comedy as a whole. So, like, if I got a special, I'd sell out a tour. It'd be great, my next tour. But it wouldn't help the comedy clubs in the country if I had a special on.
Well, it's definitely a first for it. I think it's Kay Curd came on a couple of episodes ago, another comedian, and he said that there's going to be something like 40-plus specials dropping in and around Christmas and New Year's.
So they filmed a load. They did 40 half-hour specials that they filmed in Montreal last year. And there's loads of English, like Joel Dommett's got one, Ellie Taylor, a few other English people. But it's from all over the world. There's some French guys and German guys.
Mm.
But they're comics that, you know, have profile in their own countries and not anywhere else. And I don't know if I'd watch someone who I didn't know who they were first.
Yeah.
Like, I other people may be different, but I'm very safe on Netflix. Like, I have to know someone in it or something about the film before I put it on. I won't just go, that one, whatever.
It's true. I'm the same. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if people are going to be watching it all over the world or if it will help people out or if it won't. Like, whereas if I see someone, I go, I've heard of them. I've heard they're really good. I'll definitely watch that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, really. It's a weird time because they're doing, like, 15-minute specials. Phil Wang and Aisling B went and did a 15-minute recorded special. And, like, I don't see the point of that. It's great for them and, like, brilliant for their career. But, like, I wouldn't want to sit and watch a 15-minute special on Netflix. But then people sit and watch 15 minutes of stand-up on YouTube. So I don't really know. Like, it's really strange at the moment with Netflix.
I've just got to presume Netflix are doing it for a reason because they have the numbers. They know, like you said.
Exactly.
People watch 15 minutes on YouTube. Maybe that's that golden shift where they're like, you know what? That's a perfect length for this special.
And you know what? When you do a comedy club and you do 20 minutes, I think an hour of anyone is more than enough. Like, I think 45 minutes for me, and then I go, cool, I get what you're about and I get that you're funny.
Yeah,
I'm done now.
But I think you have touched on an important point because if that is happening on that Netflix end, what is happening to the footfall of people at the live events? And if there is kind of like a vacuum appearing.
Totally. And I think, you know, more and more people go on their own tours now rather than doing clubs, which makes it harder if you're on a tour because it's kind of dividing the audience if you're in like the art centres and little theatres that I do.
Okay.
I don't know if it's actually helping people who want to go to comedy clubs, like in their local pub or in a bar or something like that happens monthly in their hometown, which people should do because comedy's brilliant. Like, live comedy is the best thing ever. Like, I get, you know, bored of it and jaded about it and I'll moan about it till the cows come home every time anyone asks me about it. But actually, like, I am spoiled that I get to see the best comedians in the country all the time just doing their thing.
Are you still a fan of consuming comedy, even though you work in the industry?
Yeah, totally. Like, I went to see a show last week at the Soho Theatre. I went to see a guy called Nath Valvo, who's an Australian comic, who was excellent. Like, so, so good. I enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed sitting and watching stand-up for a long time.
Okay.
And it, you know, in a little 100-seat theatre, like, just brilliant guy who isn't that well known over here. But I do love doing that. And I still watch specials. I watched Russell Brand's special recently. I watched Ricky Gervais' special. And I will watch a lot of comedy, I think, for someone that doesn't, you know, gets more than my fair share of comedy in life. Like, I see more comedy than most other people do. I still go home and then go, oh, I'll go and watch Russell Brand's show.
Got a stick on.
Do you think the rise of a comic has changed in the modern era? Because obviously a lot of comics are coming up through the social media age and they don't have to market themselves per se in the under the gaze of the live audiences.
Totally. But you know what happens is you get comics that come up through that area and are brilliant, and then you get they all want to go and do live stuff.
Okay.
So guys that came up through Vine or came up through the perfect example is Dapper Laughs a few years ago, who came up doing stuff online and then he did a live tour and it was a disaster because he hadn't stand-up's a skill.
It's,
being funny is sort of a gift, but it is also a skill, I think. So you've got to hone it. And I think people are naturally funny over a couple of minutes online, and then they go and do an hour-long show and actually realise that it takes a good few years to get good enough to hold people's attention for that long. Definitely. So it's great because people are developing really developing interesting, unusual stuff. Because online, you don't have to make money to put yourself out there. People just watch what they like.
Yeah.
So it's not like TV where they're going, well, is this going to do well? Are people going to watch this? Mm-hmm. Like, your audience can find exactly what you're doing, which is great, and it means that comedy's more original than ever. Mm-hmm. But I just think, yeah, they come over into the live side and it's not quite what they thought it'd be. But then comics that have been doing live stuff for 15 years are terrible at doing videos. Like, my agent always asks me to, like, oh, maybe you should be doing funny online content, like funny Instagram stories and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not very good at it because it's not my skill set.
Yeah.
So I look at some people who don't even gig and, you know, are just doing funny videos online. I'm like, wish I could. Of course, it's so simple, but so brilliant. Why can't I think of stuff like that? But I'm not wired that way. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's a two-way street, really. Like, it's brilliant, but, you know, it kind of doesn't affect stand-up too much. And then stand-ups doesn't really affect the online things. Okay. It's sort of quite separate still. Okay. So Gilligan's kind of come over from doing loads of stuff online and has sold out huge rooms. Yeah. But he was doing stand-up as well anyway, so it's slightly different. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen him live, but I've heard he's brilliant. But his videos are great because he can do both, and that's really rare.
Mm. How do you use social media to kind of to talk to your audience? Really?
I'm terrible. I've got like a decent amount of followers, but I'm just not very good at utilising them. Like, so I'll just be like, oh, I'm on come see me live, guys. And like three people will like the tweet. And I'm also not big about sharing. Like, I share on I'm on Instagram and stuff. I like Instagram the best.
Okay. Mm. It's a winner at the moment. I've got to say out there, sorry to talk over you, but Instagram is very, I think it's the hot place right now for everyone.
You know what? It's just people going, oh, I'm doing this nice thing. And I think that's the opposite of somewhere like Twitter, where it's like, oh, Brexit's going on a bit. And everyone's like, you're an idiot. Oh, my God. Whereas Instagram's just like, oh, I'm at the beach. And everyone's like, looking great at the beach there. And I just think it's quite. And, you know, I've got loads of friends who have, like, quite interesting lives.
Yeah.
And I sort of get to live that life. And I know that, you know, there's the whole thing about putting your best foot forward online and how that affects mental health. But I just quite going, oh, my friends are having a nice time. It looks like they're having a lovely time.
Like.
Which I enjoy. And I put up things when I'm doing things that I think are quite cool or something that's a bit funny. But, yeah, I'm not great at social media.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think Instagram's where you put the joke, and then Twitter's where you put the apology when the joke has been offensive.
Twitter's where they find old things that you said 5 years ago. Damn, should have deleted that. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Instagram's where you go if you want like to take a photo of your nice white Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And Twitter's where you go if you want a nice white hierarchy. That's the difference, being like, just in the mountains for Christmas, look at all the snow. Whereas on Twitter, you've got to be like, oh my God, in the mountains, no black people. Brilliant. Like, they're the differences, I think.
That is brilliant.
I mean, we actually did have a little peek at some of your tweets. I mean, this is a pretty good one. I'll tell you not a good tweet. I'm in South Korea and my hotel loo is one of those terrifying robotic ones that shoots water and sings and is potentially sentient. This is one of the most thrilling poos I've ever had.
It was a great poo.
Back
to the poo. You didn't have to wipe. So it was one of those loos where like, first off, you got on the seat and it was heated.
Yeah,
it was brilliant. I was in South Korea for a day and a half, and this was my favourite thing about it. I was sort of sat on the loo, and I was like, "Oh, what? Do you know when you get a heated seat in a car?
Yeah,
and someone turns it on without you knowing, you think you've pissed yourself.
Yeah.
It felt like that. So, and then you finish, and you press a little button on the side, and a little thing comes out of the back of the loo, and goes, and then shoots water up your ass to clean it.
Job on, mate. That's the one.
Which
hands free.
If you stood up, it just goes on the floor.
Or hit your back.
You just be like, this is a terrible water feature.
I can't wait for us to go to Japan. Fuck. And you come out of the toilet, your trousers are just covered in water.
Stood looking at the loo going, well, I mean, I've seen the fountains at the Bellagio Hotel. And this has got nothing on that.
Hopefully they have one for you where you can just lean against the wall and take a shit and it'll spray water at your ass sideways. That could be the one for you, bro. Like a urinal.
My thing with Instagram though is I'm really into planes, so like I'm a plane spotter type. And I Instagram planes that I've been on and things like that. I talk about planes a lot.
Plane spotter. I've heard of train spotter.
I've got my bags in the other room. I have in my bag I subscribe to a magazine called.
Oh, go grab it.
No problem.
I'll show you this. You'll like this.
Okay, because a plane. I've heard of train spotting before,
train spotting, but more rock and roll.
Okay.
Man said it's like Trainspotting, but more rock and roll.
I mean, I only know it's 747, and that's about it.
I believe.
And a Concorde.
We're about to get educated, bro. Yeah, I think we are. 747. I think there's a 737.
Oh, okay. Hang on. That's a shame.
Have you not? Have you misplaced your mag?
I have.
Oh, no. Go on, mate.
So I said 747.
Jumbo jet, yeah.
An Airbus. Is that the same thing?
A 73, no, right, okay. I mean, okay, right. So an Airbus.
Matt was like, oh, you done fucked up now.
An Airbus is a company that make planes.
Okay.
And a 747 is a model of plane made by a different company called Boeing.
Okay.
So Boeing are an American company,
yeah.
And then there's Airbus, and there's Embraer, who are a Brazilian company, make kind of small, sort of short haul jets,
yeah.
And ATR, who make propeller planes, and De Havilland and Bombardier, who make sort of smaller planes. But I'm really into planes, so that's what my Instagram is. It's mostly, so I'm going away in a couple of weeks, and I'm flying with an airline I've never flown before, and on a plane I've never flown before. So I'll be uploading photos of the experience.
Okay.
And I use the hashtag AVGeek, which is, you know, for people who like planes, and. That's what I like doing online. I follow hundreds of accounts that all they do is people who stand at the end of runways taking photos of planes, and I just follow them and like look at all their pictures of planes.
That's quite cool, you know, I like that.
So what is it that you, like, what is it that gets you about a plane? What about the experience? Is it
wingspan.
Oh. Or the size of the cockpit.
Or as us planos call it, girth. Well, that 747's got some girth on it, hasn't it? Well, that would feel good going in. You know what? I don't know. I've been into it since I was like a kid. And like when I was younger, I never had a games console. I was big into PC games. I was such a loser. I was into like all the tycoon games, like Roller Coaster Tycoon or Airline Tycoon, which is essentially a fucking spreadsheet. And like where you're just going, oh, well, I'll spend that much on the fuel and I'll do that. And like, yeah, you're just typing in a spreadsheet. Just, it's a colourful one. But I used to play Flight Simulator. So I had a Flight Simulator game where, you know, she had like a joystick, and it was commercial airliners. It wasn't even fighter jets. I mean, to like commercial aviation.
Yeah.
And you could do, and I used to do the flight, because you could go to any airport in the world. You could fly all over the world. I used to do the flight from London to New York in real time.
What? No way.
8 hours, bro.
Yeah, of which 7.5 of them, it's autopilot. But I'd sit there, and when I was like 12 or 13, I'd put a movie on and pretend it was the movie on in the plane, and you know. I'd do little announcements, and like you could program it so there'd be a bit of turbulence on the way, and on the screen you'd like go click, the seatbelt signs are back on. So I've just always really been into planes, and like I've traveled a lot with my job, so it just means I get to see a lot of different planes.
That's like a double blessing, isn't it, really? Yeah, if you're like into planes and you get to travel around.
I love it. A friend of mine actually, when I was just waiting to come in here, she texts me, and my friends take a photo of the back of a seat whenever they take a flight, and they text it to me and they go, name that plane. And I'm like, that's a Boeing 777-200. Where are you flying to? Tulum. Well, that had gone from Gatwick, and I think you'll find the seating in economy is 10 across rather than 9 across, which BA do from Heathrow. And like, I'm just like a nerd about it.
You're just like the Rain Man of airplanes, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not even the nerdiest. Like, I would go and stand at Heathrow and take photos if my girlfriend would ever sleep with me again afterwards.
You don't ever sneak out at night,
no,
do you?
Just, and she hates it because we go on holiday and I want to be at the airport 4 hours before so I can see and watch planes. And she's just like, you're such a nerd.
Would you ever go for the license then? Piloting license?
You know what? I don't have the eyesight. I've got pretty bad eyesight. I wear contact lenses, and you've got to have better eyesight than I have. I've had a flight lesson, and I've been in a flight simulator to have a lesson, and it was really good fun. I'd love to, but I don't think I could. That's my dream job, to be a pilot.
One day, mate.
Would
you have good eyesight for up there? There's just birds and clouds in there.
You know what? That's a really good point, actually. And half the time, it's night.
Yeah. And most of the time, autopilot as well.
Exactly.
What's going on here?
I think they just don't want me.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, as soon as I've got a microphone in my hand these days, I'll be doing like,
welcome to Slash Air.
Airplane food, guys. Am I right?
Nine-hour set.
Yeah. Well, you're my favourite kind of audience. No parachute, so you can't escape. That's me on social media. I'm interested in planes. It's kind of harmless, but everyone's always like, it's a bit sad, isn't it?
No, everyone's got their thing that they like to geek out.
Everyone's
on,
got a little thing. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. You must have one, right?
Yeah.
I bet you could tell me any CDJ, couldn't you?
I don't think it's legal, though.
Oh, wow, okay. Cool. Mm. Is it legal anywhere in the world?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
Music, though, bro. Yeah. Like you, like, Funk knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah. With proper music production. Music, yeah.
For me, Star Trek.
Are you a Trekkie?
He's a Trekkie.
I've been watching the original series, then the animated series, which people don't know exists, and now I'm working my way through the Next Generation.
At least the thing I'm into is real.
Sci-fi, it's feasible. It's feasible, bro. It's feasible. It's my crutch. So radio as well, like, you know, 4 days a week now, did it?
Five days a week. Monday to Friday.
On Virgin Radio. So what's that like? So you kind of got the comedy side of you, you've got the side of you that does a lot of stuff, TV as well, and now we've got radio, like, How does that work out? What's your show like?
It's like, you know what? It's really musicy. Mm-hmm. So we're like, you know, we're like an alternative rock station. It's, you know, it's sort of on the fringes of some like poppy stuff, but mm-hmm. Just play loads of music. And my stuff is, I love talking about music. But rather than just going, oh, so that was the Foo Fighters and they're on tour from mm-hmm. July to August.
On a 737.
Oh, no, they flew over actually with United Air in first class. Dave Grohl was sat in 1K. It's sort of like, I just love talking about music and trying to be funny about music because, you know, I talk about my life on stage, but to talk about music and just try and like make jokes about it. And like, I think my radio show is quite funny. Like, I mean, very lovely got nominated for an award saying it was funny earlier this year, which was nice because with radio, my problem is you don't have any feedback straight away. Uh-huh. Whereas I was really used to, like, you say something, people like it or they don't.
Yep.
Whereas with radio, you get numbers every 3 months to see if people are listening to you. So that's quite a slow feedback loop. So, yeah, I just make jokes. I'm just a bit daft and like chat away about, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, I'll try and wind people up. I get people angry on our station. We play Oasis a lot. They're a big band for us. And sometimes I'll just call them like the Oasis. And you just get like, it's Oasis! And you're like, I know, I'm fucking with you. Because that's what I like doing. It's like just being a bit of a knob, really. Yeah. Just like, just trying to amuse myself. And you don't talk for like that long on the radio. It's not like this where you can have a really long in-depth conversation. Like, it's like, you know, a minute and a half, like a really short, sharp bit you got to do. And it's got to be really focused. So it's a really different skill. It took me a while of doing it to get good at doing it. Like, I was all over the shop to begin with. So, yeah, but I love it. It's really good fun. But you hear a lot of the same music over and over again.
Yeah, those playlists are tight sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah, 302 songs is our playlist. So, you know, like, I've heard a lot of songs that when you first hear them, you go, oh, yeah, this. And after about 6 months, you go, I'm just going to turn that down for today. I'm going to skip that for the day.
Yeah, yeah. Or you start to hear weird things in songs that you never noticed before.
And also, there's songs that, you know, I'm lucky in the music I play loads of stuff that I would listen to and bands that I go and see. Yeah. But occasionally you'll hear something that isn't particularly your bag, say, for example. You think it's okay.
Yeah.
And then you start to go, you start to then know songs that you're not that bothered about. So the other day, and Tom Petty Free Falling came on, and we play that. And like, I don't mind that song, but I don't, you know, I'm not all over that song.
Yeah.
But like, it started and it was so quiet. And I was like, oh yeah, here comes the bit where they do. And like, and the person was going, how do you know so much about this one song? And I was like, well, I've read about it so I can talk about it. And I just started talking about a song that, who cares about Tom Petty in Free Falling? Like, when you're sat having a pizza with your mates, and I'm going, well, Tom Petty recorded this in 1970. And I'm just like, why do you know this? So you've got loads of music knowledge that you love, but I've just got loads of music knowledge that is just useless in any other context.
It's like the general knowledge of music, really, that you've got.
Oh, right? I'd do great on Mastermind if it was like Fleetwood Mac 1972 to 1984.
Oh, I'd love to see you on Celebrity Mastermind Planes, though.
I'd be good on planes, you know. I did the Celebrity Chase last year, and I was brilliant, but I was with a team of idiots. Jimmy Osmond knows fuck all. I'm just saying. And Kirsty Walk, who's from Newsnight, she just overstretched herself. She went for the 80 grand. She should have stayed with the 4.
You're not holding any grudges there from that.
No, not at all. We had 62 grand in our kitty, and I got 60 of that. So, you know, I mean, we lost it in the end, of course. But I'd love to do Master. I think that'd be good. Just being like, you know, the British Airways fleet between 2003 and 11. Like, I could do that.
Amazing.
274 planes, easy. You know.
Fucking hell. You really, I thought
just love it. It's so sad, isn't it?
Not at all.
Not at all. It's just, I find it intriguing that you find that something that, that is really exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, like, I love the fact it's like I do laugh at the fact not fighter jets.
Yeah.
Passenger planes. So, buses in the sky.
So if you see a fighter jet, you're just like, oh yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I know what they are, but I'm just like, no, that's not really for me.
So intriguing.
Like, you give me something where a load of people get on and sit in a tube of farts for 4 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
And you get given like a lukewarm bit of pasta. Oh, the dream.
So I've been on that seat, by the way, on planes. I think it was a 7, you'll probably correct me. There's a seat which gives you more leg room than first class, pretty more business class in, what was I going to? I think I was on an EasyJet flight to Spain or something.
And like where you sit on the wing, like with the exit seat.
Not just the exit seat. There's like a seat, like a magic seat. No, it was when I was on the way to LA, actually. You might know.
That won't be EasyJet then.
No, it was BA, sorry. On the way to
where there's
on the
not
way
a seat
LA.
In front of you.
Yeah, there's no seat in front of me and I like have my legs fixed out.
There's one that's like, it's a safety thing because there's a hatch in the floor and you get loads of leg room.
Sick. Like the people around you hate you. You've got to have your best smug face on.
But the thing is, because I'm so into planes, I know all about those kind of seats. So when my friends book holidays, they get in touch and go, what seat? I'm on this plane. I'm going on this flight. Where do I sit to get the best seat in the cabin?
And you can select on a seating plan.
Yeah, and I go, what you need to do is be in like 32B because at the back of that cabin, it's like three seats across. But actually, when you go to the back at 32, it's only two seats across or there's one seat by itself. So yeah, I'm
that's
like
incredible.
That.
So should we ask our listeners to message you
get
on Twitter?
Get in touch with me for Matt Richardson 3. I will answer any of your plane inquiries. I'm really good with points as well. I've got like 500,000 air miles because I know all about it. Like I'm like, well, Adidas have got a thing on with Avios. So you just buy some Adidas things, send them back. You get 20,000 air miles. You're like, brilliant. And I'd be upgrade. I know all the tricks and tips. It's brilliant. So yeah, Matt Richardson 3. Help me turn it into an online thing where I can make some money.
What's it? Hashtag AVGeek, is it?
Hashtag AVGeek.
Hashtag AVGeek. Thank you for coming on the show. Before we let you get out of here, though, because I know you're a busy guy, what can we look forward to seeing more of from you in 2019?
So still doing a bit of the tour, and then I'm going to go on a brand new tour from autumn next year. So I'm going to write a new show, which I haven't started yet. So it might be terrible. And then I've got a new TV show coming out called The Hangover Games, which is a game show where people go out on a night out and they get bladdered like they normally would.
Yeah.
And we've sent some cameras out to follow them on a night out, is what we tell them. We're making a TV show about nights out. And then I wake them up at 7 a.m. and tell them that if they want to get their money, that, you know, they want to win some money, which they thought they were doing on the night out. I'm like, actually, you need to do a game show with us now where we make them do things like eat, you know, those petrified eggs and make them pick at whoever they kissed out of a lineup from the night before and things like that.
There's going to be a lot of vomiting on that show.
Yeah, I mean, I vomited a lot on that show. We filmed it in the summer and yeah, it was pretty gnarly. Things like, you know, oh, well, to win this money, what you got to do is lick this woman's face clean. And we've covered it with X and Y. And, you know, it's just like a really gross show, but really fun.
I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. A lot of throwing up. It was pretty special.
So did you join in a little bit of the bevvies then while they're out there?
No, because that would have given the game away if there was like a presenter there.
Oh, so they don't
So
know.
They think they've gone on a night out. We told them the show's called Britain's Best Night Out.
Okay,
and we're
right.
just making a show that's like, you know, like a Geordie Shore-esque, we're going to follow you on
your
life. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas what we actually did was, that show was a lie. And then I'd wake them up in the morning and we go, oh, we've set up a studio around the corner. In like the local
Love
football
it.
Club, do you want to come and like win a load of money by doing some horrific things?
That is insane.
Brilliant.
It's good fun. It's really nice.
How do I apply for this next season of this?
Well, if we get if we do another one, I'll let you know.
We'll have to be tricked
welcome.
Into that. Yeah,
but, yeah. And it's like, you know, drinking blended kebabs and like it was all the stuff you'd struggle to do sober. But you know when you're hungover and anything will make you sad and throw up.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff, you know.
Are you a good hungover person? Or?
No. But I'm also not very sympathetic to other people when they're hungover because I magically forget about hangovers when I don't have one. So I was quite a cruel presenter on this show because they're all going, I think I'm going to die. And
you're
I was
like,
going,
drink it!
Who cares?
Drink it!
Do it! It's good for the ratings! And then, but then there was one show we filmed where the crew all went out the night before. And we were all hungover as well. So like normally they'd be like drinking something gross. So they'd be like, come on, get it down your face. Whereas actually they like, I was like, okay, you need to drink that. You need to drink that outside. Oh, yeah. And I was like, I had a bucket for that day.
Crazy. Where can we see that?
That's going to be on Channel 4 in spring next year.
Look forward to that, man.
Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming
on
the show, though,
me.
Matt. Appreciate you playing everything from a little bit of Smash Brothers to a game of Do You Stand Up or Sit Down to Shit? Thank you for... I don't know, do we ask now in the future before you go, do we bring the balls into this part or the wipe it from the front? Or do we just
I think that might just be me.
Twitter poll. But yeah, no, thank you very much for coming on How to Kill an Hour, man. There's plenty of ways to kill time out there. Before we let you go, don't forget, hit smash that subscribe button. Smash 5 stars and give us a review. Let us know what you think of our conversation. Maybe whether you sit down or stand up to take a shit too. Oh, we're also running a competition on our website, howtokillanhour.com. So head there, check that out. I've been Marcus Brunzi.
I've been Funk Butcher.
And I'm Matt Richardson.
Cheers, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.